Mr. President, Marilyn Monroe.
And good evening. My name is Don Ecker. The show UFOs tonight, you're listening to the Cable Radio Network. And joining me in studio once again is our very good friend, and he's been helping me out with the hosting duties, Mr. Dwight Schultz. Dwight, it is a pleasure.
It is a great pleasure tonight.
And this is going to be a fun show.
Yes, it's going to be a very interesting show for everyone. Pay attention, folks.
Because there will be a written test.
Yes, indeed.
Joining me in studio, and I got to tell you, we're going to be doing, this show may be a little different than what you're used to.
Don, to preface the show, recall your conversation with Mr. Flock. Flock.
Well, okay,
P-H-L-O-C-K.
Carl Flock. Yeah, I guess that would be a great way to start it. Well, you know, about a year and, a few months ago, I had a gentleman on this program by the name of Carl Flock, who was a former member of the Central Intelligence Agency.
Speaking of the devil.
And an assistant secretary of defense under the Reagan administration. And during that program, we had a call from an individual that we've all been, I guess you could say, blessed knowing in the field of UFO.
What are your credentials, Mr. Ecker?
Well, this fellow called up, claimed he was John from Atlanta. It actually ended up being Bill Cooper from Arizona.
You had another word
and,
for it.
Well, I did, but I got in trouble when
okay.
I said it.
All right.
But what I had told Flock was that this fellow had incorporated into his all-encompassing conspiracy paranoia program everything except the Marilyn Monroe conspiracy. And lo and behold, be careful of what you say. You may have to eat it because right now in front of me, and you've got one in front of you.
No, you've got mine in front of you.
Oh, well, somebody has it. Oh, there
okay.
It is. I have a document that has at the very top of the document something called the Central Intelligence Agency. And it says, top secret, not for publication, dated 3 August 1962. And the subject is Marilyn Monroe. But what makes this document even more mysterious is the references on it to something called Project Moondust, which we've talked about on this program.
Yes.
Something called MJ-12 at the very bottom of it.
Yes.
And it mentions...
Dorothy Kilgallen.
Marilyn Monroe, Bobby Kennedy, Jack Kennedy, and in a roundabout way, what appears to be the Roswell aliens. Now, in studio, joining us tonight is a gentleman by the name of Milo Spiriglio. Did I say that right, Milo?
Very good.
And Scott McKenzie, who is an associate. Now, these gentlemen are both private detectives. Milo is the director and chief of the Nick Harris Detective Agency here in Los Angeles. I guess you could say kind of Milo that you're a detective to the stars. You've you've been involved in a lot of cases with celebrities from the entertainment field.
Well, yes, I do a lot of celebrity investigations, but I do other serious things as well.
Well, sure, of course. No, I didn't mean to imply you didn't. This, however, you know, I can recall a number of weeks ago when I saw you and another associate on an NBC affiliate here in town talking about this document that you folks had uncovered. This, at the time, I got to tell you, I was absolutely, totally amazed and very unbelieving. What about this document do you think gives it validity, if anything does?
Well, number one, I've seen a number of CIA and FBI documents over the years. Certainly looks like the type that you would expect to see. But just yesterday, I received confirmation as to content by one person considered one of the best investigative reporters in the world. The Hollywood Reporter brought the document to him. He's in Richmond, Virginia. Not Richmond. Can't even think of it.
Arlington,
Virginia,
right.
And he's done numerous investigations. In fact, he is the head investigator for the PBS. And they're doing a program. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention this, but he told me that it'll be out about 6 months from now about outer space things.
Having to do with the UFO phenomenon?
Yes, and probably the situation that's mentioned in the document.
Well, you know, when we talk, and I realize because we had dinner beforehand. Now, Scott, on the other hand, Scott McKenzie has been involved in this field for a number of years. Scott, you and I first talked, I guess it was 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, 3 or 4 years ago, yes.
When you were involved in doing some in-depth investigation on behest of some clients in Las Vegas on the Robert Lazar story.
That's true. I have my own business with Stephen Andrews. We had an investigation agency called Andrews and McKenzie. And, of course, this is an area I've always had interest in. So I've done a little bit of research on the side, and somehow we got drawn in by the people that we met. And eventually we started taking a look at the Mr. Lazar. It seemed a little bit unusual, so I had a little bit of fun with that. What is interesting, Phil, about this is that I worked for Milo a number of years ago, and then we've been associated on a few things since that time. And it's an area that Milo's not been involved in, and when he told me that he came across this document, I just found it unbelievable. Here's a man that I worked with before who suddenly is being drawn into an area that I had gotten sucked into a number of years ago as well.
Well, we only have a couple of minutes here, and we're going to take a real short little break. But before we do that, I'd like to do a couple of things. Number one, we have mentioned this document in the new issue of UFO Magazine. It will be going out this coming week to the subscribers and to the bookstores and magazine stores around the country. But in here, we mention about this document that Milo and his associates have uncovered. And as soon as we had uncovered this, we called Kevin Randall because, you know, of course, I'm sure you've seen in the media, Roswell right now is a very big story. Showtime just released a film that has just come out. As a matter of fact, this film is going to be run again on Showtime on Monday for anybody out there that has not yet seen it. It's worth seeing. But when we talked to Kevin Randall about this document, we asked him if he had had any word about this, and at the time he had not. And he didn't know whether, you know, to accept this at face value, whether or not to, but he said his intelligence people stated that if things got too hot, meaning the Roswell story, that documentation might surface which would try to discredit the story. However, you've had this document for how long?
Approximately 5 months.
Okay, now before we take this break, I'm going to ask you if you would mind, because you're much more familiar with it, and this is kind of tough reading for me. Could you read this on the air before we go to the break so people know exactly what this document says?
Okay, part of it has been blocked out, but basically what it says is a wiretap of telephone conversations between Dorothy Kilgarren, which was a very famous reporter, and her friend Howard Rothberg, which we never was able to identify, And then it says from wiretaps of phone conversations of Marilyn Monroe and Attorney General Robert Kennedy. Then they go into what's an appraisal of the content, and they break it down to five different points. You want me to?
Yes, go ahead. Please, please read the whole thing.
Point number one is Rosberg discusses the apparent word unknown of subject with Kilgallen and the breakup of the Kennedys. Rothberg told Kilgallen that she was attending Hollywood parties hosted by the inner circle among Hollywood elite and was becoming the talk of the town again.
Now, Marilyn, you're talking about.
They're talking about Marilyn. Rothberg indicated in so many words that she had secrets to tell, no doubt arising from her tryst, which is misspelled, with the president and the attorney general. One such, and then it's blanked out, mentions the visit by the space for the purpose of inspecting things from outer space. Kilgallen replied that she knew what might be the source of visit. In the mid-50s, Kilgallen learned of secret efforts by U.S. and U.K. governments to identify, and then a word blanked out, of crashed spacecraft and dead bodies from a British government official. Kilgallen believes that the story may have come from the, and it's blanked out, but it could possibly, well, it starts with M, I won't even guess, in the late 40s. And Kilgallen said that the story, if the story is true, it would blank, it would would be a terrible embarrassment to Jack and his plans to have NASA put men on the moon. Point number two, subject repeatedly called the Attorney General, they're talking about Marilyn, and complained about the way she was being ignored by the president and his brother. Point three, subject threatened to hold a press conference and would tell all. Point four, subject made references to bases in Cuba and knew of the president's plan to kill Castro. And point five, subject made reference to her diary of secrets and what the newspapers would do with such a disclosure. Now, most of this, except for the outer space thing, has been reported by me many years through our investigation.
Well, you've written three books.
On Marilyn, yes.
On this subject, haven't you? Okay. Well, we are going to take a very short break, and when we come back, more with my guests this evening who are joining us in studio, myself and Mr. Dwight Schultz and Mr. Milo Spiriglio and Scott McKenzie.
Maybe grand, but it won't pay the rental on your humble flat.
And we are back. That was a short break. Dwight, you and I talked about this. Dorothy Kilgallen was mentioned rather prominently in
Above
Top Secret by Tim Good.
Yes. Kilgallen had on several occasions released stories that she attributed to military sources in the newspaper about unidentified flying objects and took the subject quite seriously. It's one of those things when you, this document, when you read so much information, you see all of the names, the acronyms that have been part of UFO lore. It's the kind of thing that makes your head spin. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to know that when Don Ecker heard this on television, I received a phone call almost instantly. And he said, "You are not going to believe what I just heard." Because we had anticipated some kind of disinformation because of the Roswell movie and because of the book that Randall and Schmidt had just released, and there was a great deal of press attention to this subject. For some reason in our bones, we thought that there would be some attempt to cloud the issue. I'm not saying that this document is clouding the issue. I'm just saying that you sit down and imagine the improbable, and all of a sudden you're looking at the document in front of you, and the gentlemen, the detectives who are here tonight, who are very reputable, and nothing strikes me as being strange anymore.
This particular British source, if I'm not mistaken, was allegedly Lord Mountbatten, who Kilgallen was in communication with the United Kingdom. Now, I know years ago there had been rumors that Kilgallen also had been murdered because of a UFO connection. Now, whether this might have had anything to do with it or not, you know, I don't know. I'm not that
well,
much...
Well, I had also heard, of course, it was because of the Kennedy assassination. That's why I heard that she would... And now, Milo, I know you have some information on
that. Yes, I understand that she mysteriously died sometime after interviewing Jack Ruby.
Yes. And again, you can see, folks, you can see why this is muddy waters.
Well, this document is dated one day before you had stated August 4th is when Monroe...
Yeah, that's the true date based on our investigation. The official date is the 5th, but what really caught my eye to the document that it was dated one day before Marilyn would die. And these were things that were not made public back then as far as her diary and all that. It had to come from wiretaps, which they admit that's where they got them from.
And Milo, can you just, I know there are, I mean, there are people out there who still don't quite understand what happened to Marilyn Monroe. Can you just give us a little...
Sure. Based upon a 20-year investigation of Nick Harris detectives, which I headed, we determined through three different independent organized crime sources the identities of all seven people involved in her murder. All of them were organized crime people. Based upon that, also being an investigative reporter, I then had a book published called Crip 33, The Saga of Marilyn Monroe, with Adela Gregory. After the book was published, I was contacted by a former FBI operative who worked 18 years undercover on a sting. And one of the two living persons that murdered Marilyn had confessed to him, not as a confession, but during their conversation, that he killed Marilyn. And the way it was said is that Marilyn had to have an accident. Then after that took place, I received another confirmation from a relative of Sam Momigliano, the head of the mafia at the time in Chicago, who ordered the hit on Marilyn Monroe.
And allegedly, he did this at the behest of the president's father, Joseph Kennedy.
Yes, it was at the nod of the head of Joe Kennedy. Now, we understand that JFK knew about this, but Bobby did not know. Now, we also understand that through Joe, and you have to remember, Joe was sort of paralyzed at that time. The only one that understood him was his son, JFK. They just asked that Marilyn be silenced. They didn't say forever.
We've got a call because I had told Kevin Randall, who is co-author along with Donald Schmidt of the new book about Roswell, The Truth About the UFO Crash at Roswell. I asked Kevin if he would be interested in calling in this evening, and I believe he is joining us. Kevin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Have you been able to hear what we've been talking about?
I've heard some of it, yes.
Yeah, I've got in studio with me, Kevin, Mr. Milo Spiriglio and Mr. Scott McKenzie. Milo is the chief and director of the Nick Harris Detective Agency, and Scott McKenzie is also a private detective who I've known for a number of years, who's worked in this field. But what we've been discussing is this alleged document from the Central Intelligence Agency concerning Marilyn Monroe's death, the wiretaps on her, and the fact that, according to this document, JFK had told her about things from outer space and dead bodies. Now, when this story broke on the NBC affiliate here, you know, I had called you up to tell you about that. And in the new issue of the magazine, we had put in there by a statement by you that you felt that perhaps after Roswell, the movie, broke, there may be efforts to discredit the story. But I wanted you to have a chance to speak to Milo and Scott and with any questions you might have.
Yeah.
Hi, Kevin. This is Milo.
Hi. How you doing?
Okay. I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to hear what you were saying because our earphones were off, but they're both on now.
Well, we didn't say much of anything
okay.
up to this point. My major concern is, of course, if you've got a document from the CIA, are you satisfied with the provenance of the document?
Well, just yesterday, let me backtrack. The Hollywood Reporter was the first to break the news of this document, and what they did is they sent a copy of it to Virginia, to the head investigative reporter for the PBS, Public Broadcasting Commission, who's recently done the Castro piece, and they're now working on a UFO piece, and he's well familiar with CIA documents, and he told me, based upon what he's seen per content, this definitely should be reliable. I'm also a question document examiner. I've seen many FBI and CIA reports before. The typewriter definitely looks like it's from that period of time, and the content as to the way it was set up seems to be for real.
But do we know where it came from?
Yes, I do.
And you're satisfied that it's a legitimate document then?
Yes, I do.
You know, one of the references on it, Kevin, and this is something that I intend to try to follow up on, is Project Moondust, whom, you know, you and I have discussed Moondust, which basically was an Air Force retrieval operation of foreign space debris. The thing that really caught my eye, however, was at the bottom of this document, there are several groups of numbers. One is 54-12. And one appears to be MJ-12. And the MJ designation is something that caught my eye right away.
And Kevin, this is Dwight Schultz.
Hi, how you doing?
How you doing, Kevin? One of the things we were talking about earlier, talking about this document, wondering whether or not it was real, it has the look of something that has been crafted by someone who is very... J-12 documents. It has all of the look of legitimacy. Somebody has gone to a great deal of trouble to forge this, if it is a forgery. If it's real, it speaks for itself. But Scott had said that even if it is a forgery, there is something behind this that is too fascinating to let go of. And when you see a copy of this document, as I'm sure you will, your eyes will go reeling. It's a repeat of history, I think.
Well, Don had read the document to me yesterday, and he mentioned the MJ-12, and that makes me pretty suspicious, because the documents that have been released claiming to be from MJ-12 up to this point are pretty well established as fraudulent.
Well, that's true, but there's also another theory about that, of course, and that is a fraudulent document made to make something that is real look fraudulent. In other words,
absolutely. The standard intelligent technique is, if you find a leak, you don't plug the leak, you just flood it with bad information so that it discredits all the information, not just once you discover the information is fraudulent, you dismiss it all.
But this is exactly. But this is not an amateur forgery, if it is one. It's just not. And so you have to ask yourself, who would be in the business? I mean, especially since whoever does these things, they keep their names a secret, unless they're just getting a big kick out of watching a lot of people chasing their tails.
The 54-12 designation, though, as we do know, Kevin, there was a 54-12 designation back in the 50s.
And we know that Moondust is a legitimate governmental operation. In fact, they lied to Senator Jeff Bingaman about the existence of Moondust, and then had to retract those statements when the documentation proved that Moondust existed.
Absolutely, yes.
And there was, in fact, these things happened. Senator Moynihan on the floor of the Senate was talking about the CIA just one day ago, relating a story of how Bill Casey came in and told, or basically apologized, because the CIA had come into the Senate and had lied about Barry Goldwater. They literally, knowingly lied. And here was Moynihan talking about these people lying. Everything is so confusing. I mean, we were talking earlier, what we thought in the 60s of Marilyn Monroe and Jack Kennedy, Camelot, and J. Edgar Hoover, the hero, the crime hero of every American, has all fallen into dust. There is so much disinformation. There have been so many lies. There have been so many fairy tales. It is almost impossible how do you prove that this is a forgery, or how do you prove that this is real? How do we go about
One of the best ways is if there's a good provenance for the document, you can establish where it came from. That goes a long way to establish its credibility.
Well, Milo stands by that.
Well, Kevin, this
and as I say, I don't know what the provenance is, and that would be my first question. And if you're satisfied with the provenance, then that goes a long way to establishing the credibility of your document.
May I jump in here just a moment? Someone pointed this out to me a couple of days ago, where it says country, then it says New York, comma, U.S. I was told that in New York at that period of time was a, pardon me again, was a certain place the CIA used for opening top secret documents. Are you gentlemen familiar with that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, there's another individual that a number of years ago, achieved some level of fame in the UFO field, a fellow by the name of Robert Emmenegger. Emmenegger wrote a book on the subject called UFOs Past, Present, and Future, and was affiliated with a CIA, I believe it was a CIA front operation in New York by the name of Cray Advertising. So sure, they have a long track record. Scott, you had something.
Kevin, this is Scott McKenzie.
Yes.
And let me throw something in here. We were discussing this off the air. It was on the disinformation. What got me intrigued, and I've been looking into this UFO stories for some time now, kind of a sidelight, but again, I'm a professional investigator. I've known Mr. Spriglio for quite a few years, and I am familiar with the work he's done in the Maryland case. Of all people to receive a document that has anything to do with Roswell or UFOs, it would not be normally Milo. He's not involved in that end, never has been. Started asking me a lot of questions about the Roswell affair. And so I am very interested in this document as well, either as it being genuine or being a piece of disinformation, because it went to Nick Harris detectives, of all places to go.
And I would love to have a document surfaced that we could establish a good provenance for and credibility for, if it establishes the fact that the United States government is in possession of craft and bodies, because that goes a long way to proving what we've been saying all along. So I would be delighted, regardless of where it came from, if we could establish that it is credible.
Okay, I could say this much. All the references made about Marilyn Monroe are true, and we could document that. What's unknown to me, of course, is the Rockwell and moon dust and so forth.
Well, yeah. Don knows as well as I do. Moon dust is legitimate. It's a legitimate project.
And we know that it's been invoked a number of times.
Absolutely, we can establish that, and then we're getting more and more documentation. And in fact, one of the arguments is moon dust was designed specifically to deal with Soviet space debris, but that's not true, because some of the documents I've seen that have been retrieved through moon dust refer to UFOs specifically, not just the documents we reprinted in the book, but other documents as well. Soviet debriefings of their pilots that have chased UFOs came into possession of the United States through Project Moon Dust and is labeled moon dust. So moon dust clearly was interested in UFO material.
Okay, gentlemen, we are right now at the bottom of the hour. Kevin, I want to thank you for calling in. It's always a pleasure talking to you. I'm sure we're going to be talking again soon.
I would hope so, and I hope you're making a tape for me for tonight's show.
Absolutely.
Sounds fascinating.
Okay,
goodbye, Kevin.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that is it for the first half hour. We are going to start taking calls the next half hour. We've still got a heck of a lot of talking to do, a lot of ground to cover. So, if you guys out there listening and gals want to join tonight's conversation, this is what you do. And we are back with my guest in studio tonight, Mr. Milo Spriglio and Mr. Scott McKenzie. My name is Don Ecker, and joining me tonight once again is our very good friend Dwight Schultz. Milo, this document, if it's true, and it certainly has all the appearances of looking legitimate, but I certainly have never claimed that I myself am an expert in these things. This would go a long way toward once again showing that our government is not only capable of deceit, but also deadly deceit and even premeditated murder. Now, you're absolutely convinced, if I'm not mistaken, and please correct me, that Monroe was murdered by the organized crime people in this country at the behest of the Central Intelligence Agency.
No, I didn't say Central Intelligence Agency. I said she was killed by the mafia. Joe Kennedy apparently gave the nod, approving it. But you have to remember, back in this time, in 1962, the CIA and the mafia were in bed together with the Fidel Castro situation, which Marilyn had in her Red Diary.
Well, they had been actually since World War II and the invasion of Sicily. Well, of course, there was no CIA then, but there was an OSS, Office of Strategic Services, which was the forerunner of the Central Intelligence Agency. So they had a working relationship for many years, the intelligence people of this country and the organized crime people.
Okay, I could tell you this, the closest thing I could bring the CIA in, besides the cover-up, they definitely were involved in the cover-up, but the method that they killed Marilyn was one that both the mafia and CIA had used in the past to make other people look like suicides.
And that was?
It was an insertion through the rectum. It was a combined of Nebutel and chlorohydrate.
Which would have overdosed her, basically?
It would have killed 100 horses, the doses that she had. But yet, in the outright appearance, it would look like it was a suicide. I mentioned to you at dinner tonight that I was at a function of the California Association of Private Investigators, which is the largest association in the world for investigators, which I'm a founder of. And our guest speaker last month was Tom Noguchi, who performed the autopsy on both Bobby Kennedy and Marilyn Monroe. And I have him on tape for the first time admitting to our group that he was told that Marilyn's death would be a suicide before he even performed the autopsy.
Did he say who told him that?
It would have been his superiors, I assume.
Now, this is a question that I ask myself every week. If I don't articulate it here on the air, I certainly ask myself, why is there not more public outrage about something like this? If what you're saying is the truth, if it's the facts, we have an outrage of tremendous proportions here.
We do. Matter of fact, we call the case the crime of the century.
You mean it's not the O.J. Simpson?
Not
case?
Yet, no.
Don, did you have to bring that up? I mean, the ratings? Are you worried about ratings?
First time I ever mentioned O.J. on this program.
Okay. It's the crime of the century prior to this year.
What, Scott, you've been involved in this research peripherally for a number of years. Several years ago when we first talked together on the telephone,
right.
we were talking about this. You had been doing a lot of behind-the-scenes investigation into a number of areas. What's your take on this document?
Well, I'll just reiterate what I mentioned earlier when Kevin was on. I know what Milo's sources are. They've been darn good. The other information that he's obtained has had nothing to do with UFOs. So to have a document come to him, and again, why is something involving Roswell and UFOs going to Mr. Spriglio and the Karras detectives? His sources have always been good. Now, if you've noticed, this happens in other areas with journalists, too. Whenever they do something on a legitimate story, mm-hmm. they have legitimate sources, and they get a document, they feel fairly comfortable with it, and the second that they take on the subject of UFOs, suddenly they're ridiculed, especially by their peers. Now, I see a document go into the Karras detectives, and I tell you, I would have a hard time questioning its validity at this point. I would certainly want to take a deeper look at it because, again, the possibilities of disinformation. But I still know what Milo's sources are, and I know that he received the document. For me, that answers a lot of questions. That tells me that this document seems for real. But, again, being an investigator, you can't say that for certain.
Scott, did you read Howard Bloom's book, Out There?
Yes.
A New York Times
yes,
reporter.
That's very one of the reporters I referred to.
This is sure. it. And look what happened to him.
Exactly.
And what he said, he said, according to his history, he was dealing with the real thing. And what happened to him on the tabloid programs? He was trashed
yes.
up and down. And what they did was they took someone with impeachable credentials and attempted to take the subject and the credibility. And
Blum was taken for a walk.
Oh, he was
big
used.
Time.
Sure. He was used big time.
Well, I will say this, though. The fact that this document's here now, and the Karras has a hold of it, means that the press, the information, and what the public's going to know will be a lot greater than any other documents that have ever come out in this area. And that I'm certain of, because it did with Maryland. It's done with other cases that's gone through that agency.
Don and Dwight, I think I'm going to give you a world exclusive right now. I'm not going to give you a name, but I'm going to give you some background, which has never been told by me to the media. I received this document approximately 5 months ago, as I mentioned earlier. My source, I met him over 6-7 years, maybe 8 years ago. He knew I was involved in the Marilyn Monroe case. His father was a high military intelligence person at that time, and he would feed me little bits of information with the Kennedys in Maryland. And one day I asked him, is there any possibility of getting documentation? He said, not now. That's as far as I want to go as to the source. But you have to remember now that we're going back 8 years ago before this movie came out or anything else.
Okay, I want to stop very quickly and take a very quick break to give out the phone numbers. And we're going to open the lines up. So if you've been holding off on calling and you'd like to call, now's the time.
I'm ready to name. It's big and strong and handsome, and it's 6 feet tall. I'm gonna file my claim. I struck a real bonanza, and it's rough and rash, but what it's got, I'm ready to
We
name.
Are back. Milo, this source, you're absolutely convinced that this source was 100% legitimate, was the real McCoy. This was, to your satisfaction, this person would have had access to this?
Yes, he would have had access to many documents that his father, had access to many, many documents from that point of time.
Something like this, do you feel, because now, if this is real, if it's legitimate, we're talking about potentially something that could turn dangerous. Do you feel any heat from something like this? Or?
I really don't want to discuss that.
Okay, all right. I can certainly understand it. Dwight, 1947 through the early 60s is when most of, and we've talked about this many times, when most of the really hardcore verifiable information was happening.
That's right. Well, actually, I don't go that far. I actually believe that after 1954, it's almost impossible to wade through the disinformation and the debunking. Once the Robertson panel kicked in, that's why these kinds of documents, when they surface, become extraordinarily interesting.
Well, you know what else struck me about this particular date? 1962 was just about the time that Major Donald Keyhoe, who was in charge of NICAP, had congressional support for holding open public hearings on this subject in Congress, but yet the Air Force and the Central Intelligence Agency were successful in quashing that effort. And we're talking about a time right now when our own fledgling space effort was getting underway. The Alan Shepard flight, the John Glenn flight, which followed it.
The Brookings Institution document.
Yes.
The same time. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, a time when the United States government ordered protocol. They hired the Brookings Institution to develop our protocol should we come in contact, or if we are in contact, with aliens from another planet. They basically said, what should we do? And we were told by the Brookings Institution, under no circumstances reveal this information because society would dissolve. So the date is a very interesting point in time. And our perspective on that time, again, I want to say it again, it was a fantasy world. We were in Camelot. If someone had come on the television or on the radio and had said, J. Edgar Hoover wears a dress and the president and his brother are sleeping with Marilyn Monroe, I mean, folks, the world would have collapsed. It couldn't happen. But now, it's true.
We know it's true. Let's go to Vermont. We've got Ray joining us on satellite. Good evening, Ray.
Hey, greetings from the Socialist Republic of Vermont.
Good evening. You're up late again tonight.
Oh, yeah. Always enjoy your show, Don. And, you know, I have some I'm ex-military intelligence, also ex-police officer, and I see a lot of corollaries here between the Clinton escapades here and the 40 or 50 people that have wound up suicided, let's say, or mysteriously dead since he's been governor all the way into his presidency. And I wonder why people are so gullible and naive is that they wouldn't think that a president would have somebody killed. The CIA has been doing it for years. When I was on the police department, I saw on a lower level people getting harassed when they buck the system. It's done all the time.
Well, you know, speaking of mysterious deaths connected with our present administration, for the last 6-7 months, I've been picking up at the newsstand a magazine called Soldier of Fortune, which is published by a former Special Forces officer by the name of Robert K. Brown. And they have in this magazine every month something called the Slick Willie Death Watch. every month they have,
I gotta get that.
they have a list of people that somehow was connected with either Whitewater or, you know, some of these other escapades of our commander-in-chief. And the people that have ended up dead under mysterious circumstances.
Yeah, you know, and Don, at what point does things stop becoming a coincidence? You know what I mean? And the other thing, I was in the kitchen feeding my cats, and I heard you talk about somebody calling you up posing as somebody named John, and you found out it was one William Cooper from Arizona?
Yes, yes.
Do you know who he is?
Oh, sure.
Okay, because I listened to him once in a while in the... He's a real flake, and he claims to be ex-naval intelligence and a whole bunch of other stuff, and he's way out there. I mean, I sometimes think he's an alien because he is way out there.
Well, we have one of the investigators in the studio tonight, Scott McKenzie, had occasion. He was telling me right before the show, several years ago, to do some investigation on something having to do with that, Scott.
Well, the only, you want to refer to Mr. Cooper?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the only thing I will tell you about Mr. Cooper, and I think it's about all I'll have to say, because I've done a little research there, he spread a rumor about me, and I was taken off guard a few times on a few talk shows I've done, and that was he claimed that I was a government agent. I was a federal agent, and he hit me right down to times and places.
Hmm.
And that's a rumor he spread, and we know for a fact because I had someone do a little undercover work, and he told them directly to their face that indeed I was. So that's about as much as I want to say about Mr. Cooper.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to go, you know, it was a very interesting topic tonight, and I think that some of these mysteries that we've endured for the last 30, 40 years are going to pan out one day. We're going to know the truth someday, and the American people are very gullible. When I was in military intelligence, we knew that if we ever wanted to fool anybody, the American people were the first people we could fool. And they are very naive, and if you inculcate people over long periods of time in small doses of stuff, it takes hold. And we found that out through mind control and everything else. The government has spent untold man hours and much of your taxpayers' dollars to find ways not to fight the enemy, but they consider us the enemy, and I can tell you that for a fact.
Well, you know, I one thing that always amuses me about this national security state we live in, and it takes place right down in Nevada, Ray.
Yeah.
We have an area down there outside of Nellis Air Force Base called Area 51. Now, anybody
right.
that has an interest in this field knows about Area 51, and allegedly they have recovered alien technology down there and so forth. But this is, without a doubt, one of the world's most secret, best known, but secret bases anywhere. You can be arrested if you go down there and even point your camera toward the mountains that are blocking the base from view. Okay, you're not even allowed to aim a camera that way. But the Russians, the Soviets, have satellites that fly over it all the time. You can buy, for about $2,000, a satellite picture.
That's
the
right.
Cold War is supposedly over, so who are they trying to kid when they deny this base even exists?
Well, the Cold War really isn't over, but I'll tell you something. The United States government is probably the most dangerous entity on the face of the earth right now, and has been for quite some time. And I'm now trying to research this federal law that was passed under Roosevelt, March 1933, which suspended the Constitution. And according to what I've heard, the Constitution has not been reinstated. So technically and legally, we're still under martial law. I find that an anathema, because it means that they can just about do anything.
Okay, well, I just want to ask one thing for anybody out there listening, please. I'm dying to know. Is it true that G. Gordon Liddy yesterday was arrested by the Secret Service on the air?
Now, yes, it is true.
You heard that?
Yes, I heard a news report come in. I don't know if he was arrested on the air, but they sent, I don't even think it was the Secret Service. I think they sent marshals over, which was crazy to me. I didn't know why they would want to send marshals over. But apparently Hillary has lodged a complaint against him for something he said. And apparently, this is another thing.
He called the president a fat cluck.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes.
Okay, well, I didn't know that was against the law. But it just shows you what kind of a police state we're heading towards, because apparently 3 or 4 years ago, there was a whole bunch of federal laws enacted under the cover of darkness that made a whole bunch of things a crime, and I guess calling the president a fat cluck is one of them. So this is bizarre.
Okay.
It's very bizarre. Thank
Great.
You.
Great. We want to thank you.
Thank
Take
you.
Care. Okay, we are, let's see, we are going to take a real quick break and incidentally, and we are back, and that was the dulcet tones of Marilyn, I believe.
It wasn't me. Don't look at me.
Hey,
dead air, folks.
I think we have our resident skeptic on the line. I see Ralph from Escondido. Let's go see what is happening with Ralph. Good evening, Ralph.
How you doing?
I'm
Good
fine.
Evening.
I think that was Jennifer Flowers.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
That was a great impression she did.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
We found one of those objects that Hoagland was talking about last week, the equilateral triangle in the Oort location on the moon, and we're scouting these out. So we found at least one of those objects that he mentioned on last week's show in the crater Oort. Although some of our sources say that previously astronomers had found those objects and they were interested in them but could never identify them.
Ralph, you know what I was afraid you were going to say to me?
Yeah?
That Marilyn Monroe was an A9 variant.
By the way, that's an A4 Bravo. I've seen pictures of that. I've seen pictures of that crashing on the test stand at Peenemunde. I'd like to ask a question about this alleged document.
Yes, please.
Please.
Was this an original document that you received?
No, what I have is a photocopy. Original documents are not given out to anyone at any time. They're always just copies.
So then you cannot verify the watermark of the paper or the ink type or the font types or any of the physical characteristics
well,
of the document?
Well, actually, Cam, as I said earlier, I'm a question document expert, court qualified, and I do identify the typing as coming from the era of 1962.
The font. What was the font type?
It was Pica, I believe.
Pica?
Right.
Can you get any other characteristics without an original copy? Like the paper type, obviously, I mean, the watermarks that might copy through.
You don't copy watermarks in a photocopy.
So there are no other physical characteristics?
No, but the way the document is set up is the top, the sides, the body, the stamps, it's just like other documents I've seen in the past.
Hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Ralph, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Let's see. We've got some other, but I don't have any names up there yet. I guess we'll have to see what's happening. Milo, with something like this now, what are you going to ultimately do? Now, you've gotten a tremendous amount of exposure since you released this document. What are your plans with it now? Are you going to continue with this?
Well, I really have no plans for the near future. I may just burn it and forget I ever heard of it.
Have you had a lot of people from the UFO research community try to contact you?
Yes, we receive phone calls from all over the United States and Canada.
And what has their response been?
Well, most of them were people that were very into this outer space thing, and they were asking for copies. Tonight I received two calls, one from the Canadian Broadcast Commission, who's going to do a special on this, and tonight at 1 o'clock our time, I'll be doing a PBS in London, England, which I believe is 7 o'clock Monday morning there.
That's fascinating. I'm just saying that the international scope of this, it has intrigued everybody.
This document, and I keep looking at it, and my eyes keep dropping to Moon Dust and MJ-12. I think if we can tell anything about it, and Moon Dust, as we had talked about earlier, was an ongoing Air Force operation. But I wonder why, with just a brief mention by outer space material, with the other, and this you of course, Milo, I doubt would be able to even take a guess at this, but with other things like her threatening to hold a press conference, talk about Cuba, talk about bases and so forth, why would this have been under Project Moondust?
You know, that's what I wondered as well, because you think they're focusing on Marilyn Monroe in the background. Instead, no, the reference is Project Moondust, and the subject is Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, I am just absolutely, I'm flabbergasted by this. This is something that that I have a lot of questions about.
Well, when you're interested in this field and you're aware of all the buzzwords, the Q words that fly around in ufology, it's like they're all in the prominent place. So if you've read a few books and you were to see this document, you would see right away. You see MJ-12, you see Moondust, you see Kilgallen, and the only anachronism is Monroe.
Yeah, let me mention one thing here. That when Milo first showed me this document, he said, "Scott, take a look down on the in the lower left-hand corner." And if you'll remember, Milo, what I said, "Oh, MJ-12." And Milo said, "No, take a look at the date." And you see, well, I'm looking at the MJ-12, but Milo's right. Looking at the date.
You know, I'm going to have to make a guess at this, but I know the CIA and the FBI has volumes on Marilyn Monroe. This may be a CC to the copy of the Maryland file, while the Project Moondust has a copy of this in their room.
The only thing I can think of, Don, is if they had a wiretap and Marilyn Monroe, and they actually had her talking about recovered bodies and things from outer space, and of course Moondust was a project set up to recover things, it in a sense is related. If the subject, which is right in the center of this document, which is the recovery of things from space, it then comes under the heading of Moondust because...
It would have to.
Yeah.
It would have
because
to.
Because it's national security classified information.
Well, now, we have a couple of... well, before we go any further, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to have to take that top of the hour break. But when we come back, we've got quite a few phone lines lit up. We've got people on the phone right now waiting to talk to us. We're going to take that break, and when we come back, more with my in-studio guest tonight, Mr. Milo Spiriglio, Mr. Scott McKenzie, myself, Don Ecker, and Mr. Dwight Schultz.